opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBot. Linda just sits here and giggles when she hears that.
Haven't you ever known anybody? It kind of reminds me of my brother. Yeah, just, you know, somebody who's in your face and won't leave you alone that just bugs you, you know, when you grow up and you just feel like you want to kill them.
We went from humorous day to I'm going to kill my brother.
But years later we just love each other and we have this. You know, that's one thing is that your brother and your sister, nobody knows you better than your brother and sister because they went through the same things that you did. But anyway, so I love that. Happy hump day, everybody. How you doing, Carl?
I'm doing fine today, May the 25th, and it's 7 minutes after the hour of seven, and our phone number is here, 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We already got a few of the chat room in there awake already. Bad Bob's with us, being his typical sophisticated urbane
good morning.
Self.
Bob
didn't feel
froze.
That way an hour ago.
Yeah, I was wondering what's happening.
Did you know that?
Was a slow start.
Bob did he jumped the tracks today to get in here.
Oh.
Yes, a big shout out to Union Pacific for effectively bisecting the city.
Yeah, right.
They have closed the downtown. Okay, if you're planning on coming downtown today and you're planning on using Placer or Yuba streets between the hours of 7 and noon, not so fast.
And Shasta.
Let me finish here. I mean, you know, I'm. And then if you're planning on, that's from 7 to noon. If you're going to use Tehama and Shasta streets, that's 7 to 4 p.m. So at noon, supposedly Placer and Yuba streets will be open, but Tehama and Shasta will be closed by Union Pacific till 4 p.m. So that leaves us Eureka Way or to go south and come back that way. So anyway, if you're coming downtown and didn't know that, and you get there and you find this line of people who didn't know it because they made the announcement yesterday after the news.
Well, you know, let's just say something. If you're not watching KRCR, reading the paper, and you listen to talk radio, and we're blessed to have you be in our family, you're hearing it now. So, and for those people who own businesses, many of which are advertisers with us, and we love you, your people may be a little bit late this morning when they come in because of the fact that maybe they don't know. And I'm not sure it wasn't so stacked up this morning because I had forgotten too. And we live off of Placer. So I came down Placer and then I turned left and went, oh boy, went the back way and then knew that I had to turn left again on
Market.
One of those streets to get back to Eureka.
We need that metal from Atlas Shrugged so they're not changing out the rails every 6 freaking months, I swear.
Well, you know what? I can't remember them shutting down the main thoroughfares.
Not to
here.
This extent, no. This is some kind of new rail they want to put in.
Hey, what's the weather look like today in Russell?
Well, it's currently 60 degrees. It's isolated showers, then maybe some thunderstorms today. This is what the forecast is calling for, but today's highs will be 80. Now, I don't know about yesterday, if you guys experienced it, but I can tell you that I went to lunch with my girlfriends at The View. Beautiful outside, absolutely gorgeous weather. And then we went to another event. When we came out, it was pouring. It was sunny, but pouring rain.
And then I was talking to other people over there on Clear Creek Road, and it was coming down in buckets over there. And at our house, the sun was shining.
Yeah, over on the west side, about 3 in the afternoon, this pretty fair-sized thunder bumper made itself known.
Oh, yeah.
It was rumbling for quite a while. Drove the animals crazy.
Absolutely. Oh, is that why you had a night of maybe not sleeping?
It well, we have the cats were all ramped up too.
Yeah, it's just it because they can, you know what, animals sense this, you know, this brewing weather is what I would call it. It's like a brew. Partly cloudy tonight with our lows of 57. Tomorrow calls for now a sunny day with 85. Folks, start to get ready now because we're amping up the temperatures. Sunny on Friday with a high of 83, and then we get into our 90s. Now, the weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Locally owned and operated, they give senior and veteran discounts, 365-3793. Speaking of senior discounts, don't be afraid to ask. Recently, when we came back from Oregon, we were at the coast, and we came through and we went to Harry and David's. And I wanted, you know, because they don't have Harry and David's, I think, in California anymore. So we went through Medford. Oh, my gosh, they got a Harry and David's. So anyway...
And that's what it sounded like. Well, they got a Harry and David.
Harry and David.
She slapped me on the side
of
the head.
Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I veered off the road and went right to Harry and David's.
Anyway, so the guy in front of us was talking about AAA discount. And we said, well, AAA discount, then they may give it veteran. 15%. We may have mentioned this before, but, you know, we know that there's so many things that we're hearing in the news about what's happening with the veterans and the VA, and oh my God, the list can go on. I'm sure we're going to talk about that a lot this morning. Do ask for your veteran discount, because a lot of times you'll be surprised who will give you that discount.
Yep. A lot of places in town will. Now, and if you look on our website, you'll see the places that have veterans discounts. And it's hard to keep them up because sometimes they more are added and some are taken off for some reason. And speaking of veterans, we're going to be talking about the veterans right here in town. We're going to take a little bit of an early break because when I come back, I want to talk about the Shasta County Grand Jury issued the report on the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. And it can be an eye-opener for some people, and it's not, and there's a lot of room there, according to the Shasta County Grand Jury, for improvement, especially in the leadership in the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and Executive Office. But first, this portion of the show was brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number, and Linda says to me, she says, what was my sleep number setting last night?
Well, because I let you, you know, women realize that men like to have the controls. We swap out things like in life. Let your husband have the controls. So
unless you have control of the money.
No.
As long as I can have a and it's not even the TV. It's the control. It's a battery operated control to the firmness of our dual air technology in the Sleep Number bed. She lets me do that. And then she doesn't trust me in the next morning. She goes, did you have that on my setting?
Here's the beautiful thing. I started off at 55, I went to 40, and this is what we can do. I've decided after last night, 40's too soft, I need to go back up. And that's the beautiful thing about having a Sleep Number bed, is that do what you, you know, what do you feel like today? Well, like maybe 100.
I sleep on firm mattresses sometimes and not so firm others. And that's what you can do with Sleep Number, made in America. Guaranteed by Sleep Number, rated number one by Consumer Reports in 2015. And now, during this big Memorial Day sale, you can go down to Sleep Number in the Target Shopping Center, and you can save $500 on a Memorial Day Special Edition Bed with Sleep IQ technology. And you're only going to find that at the Sleep Number store, which is in the Target Shopping Center, 1315 Churn Creek Road. See Brian, Janice, or any of the professionals over there, and they're going to make it a great deal for you. We've had our bed, what, over 2 years now? And it's been, you know, we have thoroughly slept well in it. I can't say enough about it.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
When we come back, I've got a couple articles. Well, I can't wait to share with you.
And we're also going to talk about the Shasta County Grand Jury Report. And I think we've got time.
You were talking about control?
I'm sorry, what?
You were talking about control?
No, I have no control. But I did say we were going to talk about it, but I'm going to be like the, you know, like a lot of these TV things. And after this, we're going to talk about this. And then it goes to the next commercial. You still haven't talked about it. So, see, they've got you. So, okay,
all
I'll go through
the
next. And all the way to the end. But no, not this one. The latest we'll talk about this is at 7:30.
Just remember.
But we'll just see what she has when we
all
get
right.
back.
Well, wait a minute. National Wine Day.
I can't, you know, well,
it's
I'm
o'clock
whining.
All day today.
I'm
Let's
whining
take a
already.
Break.
I'm whining already. Let's take a break right now.
Memorial Day. How do we celebrate it? By remembering our fallen military men and women. My father's headstone reads Veteran, World War II. Because the cemetery is far away, it had been several years since I visited. It is a peaceful place with a lot of trees. Suddenly, I was interrupted by laughter. I turned around to see a young woman laying out a blanket and putting out a picnic lunch. Her two little girls were chasing each other and giggling loudly. I immediately felt anger. This was not a place for play. Then the young woman sat on the blanket in front of the grave, and I heard her say, "Hello, honey. We thought we would spend the day with you. I just wanted you to know the girls and I are doing fine, and we miss you very much." My heart immediately broke. I turned around to give them their moment of privacy while fighting back tears. We must remember our veterans, and their families, too. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Paid for by Joe Montez for Congress 2016.
North State residents are excited about Joe Montez. That's because Joe is running for U.S. Congress here in California's 1st Congressional District. Here's nationally syndicated radio talk show host, Lars Larson.
It's been a real pleasure to know Joe Montez. I want to tell you something about Joe, though, and this is what impresses me. This is a man who grew up in some extraordinarily tough circumstances and rising to the top academically, and then go on to become an administrative law judge, and then to go from that to the private sector and be successful in the private sector, bringing jobs to Northern California. And I'm so impressed with what you've been able to do. And I look forward to the day that you can be in the United States Congress representing Northern California.
It's time for a new kind of leader that cares about the people. Vote for conservative Joe Montez on June 7th and get to know Joe at MontezForCongress.com.
I'm Joe Montez, and I approve this message.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR.
Did you get that?
You were like waiting. You're like,
no,
okay,
I wasn't.
There.
No, hey, it's 18 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here.
You open your mouth, I fill it.
Portion of the show is brought to you by Properties by Merit and Agent John Scape. Hey. John runs the place. He knows it all. He's got a great track record as far as selling and buying homes professionally, commercially, anything that you're looking for. John Scaife is the one to do it. Check out his website at pbmerritt.com or call him at 338-2112. Properties by Merritt and John Scaife, the guy down there that's in charge. Hey, okay, here's your chance to tell us what happened on The Voice last night.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to go with another report.
Okay,
that I have
well,
in front
go,
of me
go,
I
okay,
will do
go,
that.
Go with that one first.
Okay, in the news today, educational authorities in Switzerland ruled today that the parents or guardians of students who refuse to shake a teacher's hand, a Swiss tradition, can be fined up to $5,000. The decision comes after a school in the northern town of Thurwil, near Basel, agreed to allow two teenage Muslim boys to refuse to shake hands with their female teachers on religious grounds last month. The school also decided the boys would not shake hands with male teachers to avoid discrimination. This is an incident has
well,
obviously...
Did they get, who got fined?
Swiss students often shake their teachers' hands at the beginning and end of the day, which I think is pretty cool when you think about it. It's like a it's a part of a but the Muslim, it's a connection.
But the Muslim faith, which they're refusing to
in this particular incident,
to acknowledge because they were it was a woman,
right?
They're not going to touch a woman.
That shaking a female teacher's hand was against their religious beliefs because physical contact with people of the opposite sex is only allowed with family members.
Okay.
Such a warm and fuzzy group of people.
Well, I just, you know, I think that that's interesting. Now.
Well, who got fined? I thought you said someone got fined $5,000.
Swiss Muslims face $5,000 fine.
The court said they could be fined.
Oh, they could be fined. Okay.
Right.
All right, got it.
You're going to make me go back now I've switched pages.
No, I'm sorry.
No, you did that on purpose.
I didn't because
there
it wasn't
be
clear.
There will be a quiz.
There will be a quiz.
Well, you know what? You asked me questions later on, and I'm sitting here trying to follow.
The school's decision was temporary, pending legal advice from the regional government. Regional educational authorities reversed the school's decision today. The French news reported a teacher has the right to demand a handshake.
We're getting into the punishment. What if I don't want to shake my teacher's hand?
If the students refuse to shake hands again, the sanctions called for a law will be applied.
Okay, so... Now we're getting into things. You know, first of all, I thought, okay, I think the Muslim students are being, really being kind of like getting that way out there. I can't believe that they don't touch another female in any way except members of their family. Maybe they don't. Now, on the other hand, how can the school force people to shake hands with the teacher?
That's been a law. Okay.
I mean, do they show respect to the teacher? Are they courteous to the teacher?
Shaking hands when greeting one another is part of the culture in Switzerland and practices such in third world schools.
Well, one of the things that drew me to you was that you're in your culture, a big sloppy wet kiss was the way you greet people, and I kind of liked that.
The decision of the school, therefore, doesn't reflect the position of the community council in this matter.
Well, I think, frankly, I've talked enough about the Swiss.
All right, well, you asked me, and I went back to the report, so there you go. I just thought that stuck out as one of the top stories of today. The other one was Alison Cooper won The Voice. And I wasn't really sure, you know. Last year I thought the talent was incredible. This year it snuck up on me. It was really...
Cooper? Was that the girl in the invisible dress?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. She actually... Fred Dickey,
we cut about 10 seconds of the show and Henry goes, what is she not wearing?
She had a pants with a dress over the top that was... But I think it's really a great story because this is her second try at her career. She's not by all means spring chicken as they used to say, you know, that dates me, but you know, she had a career where she was in movies with Jim Belushi as a child actress. She went on to Broadway, and she then gave up her career and got married, had kids, went into addiction. And so through this auditioning for The Voice, I mean, this girl's got some chops. She's really a good singer.
So she was on Broadway?
She's been on Broadway.
As an actress?
Young, and young, as a kid.
As a kid, okay.
You know, like probably up to her teens.
All right.
And then, you know, got married, went into...
Got out of show business.
And so The Voice was like, this has always been my dream. And to make it all the way and have America votes, not the judges on this one, America votes. So Monday night they had, you know, there were four really good, very interesting. There was a great singer and a guitar player, another guy.
His name is...
Leif.
Leif Ali. He looks like... He is his parents. Well, his parents are Persian or Arabic of some kind. But he's got this beard and long hair, and he's bald, and he's what, in his 30s?
38.
And he's kind of chubby. But man, what a voice! And can he play the guitar?
So last
he
night
he is just killing them
I
out there.
I sped through this morning before I got here, but because I didn't watch it last night. But so anyway, played with Joe Walsh. I mean, oh, my gosh. I can't wait to go back and see the entire show. So, anyway, I had to see who won. So, Alison Cooper, I think it's so cool. And Christina Aguilera, of course, has coached her. And, anyway, she's a mother of two. She's gone through addiction. It's a gritty life story of somebody coming back and really working hard. It was fantastic. And America is tugged on the strings of America. So, I thought that was great. Just want to share that. Now.
Well, you know what? Let's move on to another story down in
New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Trump is speaking, and a crowd came out to try and keep people from listening to Mr. Trump. Again, on the far left thinks it's okay to keep people from listening. You know, they don't believe in freedom of speech unless it's theirs. Got into a riot, got into throwing bottles at the police, fire, the whole thing. Police firing pepper spray and smoke grenades back at them. I find this just so amusing, where the left wants safe spaces for students so they don't have to listen to things, and then on the other hand they get together in their little anarchist type movements, leftist anarchy, and go out and want to keep people from listening to another person, and they do it. They did it back east in one of the, I think it was Chicago, and they had to cancel the whole thing. And then on college campuses, there's a speaker, I don't know, and his name is, I frankly don't follow him at all, but he's a conservative guy. He's on the campus, and they rush the stage. They got people in his face threatening to punch him, and they've taken over the microphone and all this because they don't want to listen to his ideas. So where does it say that you, on a college campus, if you don't want to listen to the ideas, get a right to shut somebody down? President Obama, and Lord knows I don't agree with a lot of what he says, but he goes to one of the universities and says, how can you do this? This is where you should listen to this, to start forming opinions and let other people hear what's going on. I mean, he went after them big time, and I fully support that. How can you try to keep people from listening? If you don't want to listen to what I say or what Linda says or what anybody says, it's easy. You push the button, you go to someplace else, listen to some tepid music or something like that where you don't have to think. You can just sit there and read the bumper stickers in front of you and make up your mind. We had somebody here in the chat room says, I listened to Joe Montez the other day and I voted for him. I found that really interesting that, somebody in there, I got to listen to him for an hour, listen to what he wanted to do, and, blah, 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 and he said, I voted for him. And that is what the show is about. And this is what people should be doing. You should be listening. You should be going out and listening to all different. We listen to MSNBC as much as we do Fox. Why? Because we like to hear both sides of people being crazy at times. But there's nothing in the middle.
Yeah.
A lot of times, they talk about talk shows and everything. I like to think that we give everybody a fair shot here to come in and talk to us.
I will confess, first thing in the morning, I listen to BBC and then NPR because I like to hear them kiss up to Hillary Clinton astounding ways.
Yeah. Well, yeah, wow. And it does. But even when the BBC turns on her, or PBS does, like what's going on with this thing with Bernie Sanders, where she refuses to debate him again. It's almost the fact that if I was a Democrat, a true Democrat that believed in the Democratic Party, that said, that things, should be fair and things should be, everybody should have a chance, and everybody, and they're talking about, the economic, making it a level ground and all this. Well, what about the ground with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton? She is a vestige of the old political past, where she has the superdelegates, and she's got the head of the Democratic Party there, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's in deep trouble right now. Everybody has pushed everything on her side, and what's happened? The little guy, Bernie Sanders, has fought her to a standstill. He wins elections, and he can't even get the votes because they're already promised to her. It makes you wonder. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we are going to talk about this time. The Shasta County Grand Jury issued a report that came out last night. I think you're going to find it really, really interesting. I did. So we'll be right back after these messages. 7:30 right here at Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. 60 degrees out there, going up to 80 today. Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
We're Billy and Patrick with the best new car offer on the planet.
Let's go summer!
Make no payments for 5 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months during the Summers on Us sales event going on right now at Redding Kia. And there's more.
Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
That's no payments for 5 months. Your first two payments made by KMF and 0% financing when you purchase a new 2016 Optima, Forte, or Kia Soul.
We just found your vacation money, and it's at 380 East Cypress in Redding.
It's the all-new 2016 Optima, the sporty 16 Forte, and the award-winning 16 Soul. No payments for 5 months, 0% financing for 66 months, and Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
Summer's on us at Redding Kia.
On approval to credit, offer excludes Soul EV plus tax, license, government fees, and any emission testing fees. Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and RedingKia.com.
What are you in the mood for dinner tonight? How about a Jack's Grill world-famous steak, a fork tender filet mignon, a hot and juicy New York steak or brochet of beef cooked to perfection and so tender you can cut it with a smile? Maybe deep-fried prawns or golden fried chicken all served with garlic bread, hot baked potato or french fries, and a large family-style bowl of tossed green salad with homemade dressing of your choice. Are you in the mood? Meet friends and family at Jack's Grill, a Redding landmark since 1938. Open Monday through Saturday on California Street, downtown Redding.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Yeah.
And in the Cruisers. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bott. It is 7:33 in the morning here. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Some of the finest CCW training you're going to find anywhere. He does this, Ted Leidy. This is his business. He does this all over Northern California. This isn't something he does part-time. He teaches classes everywhere. He's got a list of instructors that teach with him. They're all NRA instructors, all NRA-trained instructors. That he provides weapons to people who don't have a handgun because they haven't found one that they want, you know, that's perfect for them. He helps them find the right firearm after the class if they don't have one. Takes people and have the renewals come out and they shoot with the regular class to get the renewals so they can go back through the safety and the and proper handling of firearms. All of this at Northern Firearms Instruction. Give them a call at 999-1822. That's 530-999-1822. Or register online at readingccw.com. That's Northern Firearms Instruction. Shasta County Board, or I'm sorry, the Grand Jury. Shasta County Grand Jury came out yesterday with a report on the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. And it is a very interesting report. They talked about how the Shasta County Veteran Service Officer has gone through four Veteran Service Officers here in the last year or over a year. They hire always from out of the county. And that it was the fourth one to serve in just over 1 year. In addition to the leadership, the CHAZ staff has also changed, with seasoned employees retiring or resigning, and the remaining and new employees experiencing consistent office procedures, an unstable work environment, and discord among their peers. As a result, the veterans of Shasta County are not receiving the services they have earned and deserve. This is what the Shasta County Grand Jury has said. Now, as we go through here, and they give examples, and they talk to a lot of people. I'm not even going to go through the whole long list of everybody they talk to, but they talk to everybody, including people in it. The executive officer, Larry Lees, they went down to Tehama. There's actually people from Shasta County going down to Tehama to have their cases handled. Tehama doesn't get paid for that, but they're not going to turn away a veteran. And they talked about the problem that the ongoing changes in the office, that there was an unknown number of cases not receiving follow-up. If a claim's denied by the Department of Veteran Affairs, which they will do probably for any reason, the veteran has 1 year from that date to appeal the decision. If that year passes without an appeal, the claim is closed. A veteran can't refile a closed claim unless there is new and different evidence presented. The Regional Department of Veterans Claims Processing Center for Shasta County has an error rate of approximately 10% as of September 30th, 2015. That means 1 in 10 claims filed in Shasta County could be mistakenly denied down in Oakland. Yeah, we know about Oakland. Failure to file a timely appeal may result in a lost opportunity for benefits due to veterans. And this is, now I'm just reading things from out of the Shasta County Grand Jury. VSO lacks a comprehensive case management process. This one veteran spouse reportedly had to conduct her own research regarding her husband's eligibility for a wheelchair accessible van, and eventually got it, but at this point her spouse couldn't leave the house. Talking about other things, they met with the Tehama County VSO staff in Red Bluff to review their operations. And they, like I said, they have started seeing Shasta County residents turn to them because the VSO was unable to provide the adequate assistance there. Now, according to the Department of Veteran Affairs, any staff can talk about veterans' benefits in general. However, once the veteran or surviving spouse expresses the intent to file a claim for benefits, the staff helping the veteran must be accredited. Now, I do know as the staff over at the Shasta County Veteran Service Office are putting their training. They're trying to get all their training back in and get their people trained up to be able to do these things. And the other thing, too, is that, yeah, they lost a lot of people, but also other people were coming back to help, like Dave Lanford, who is an expert down there, and he's over there helping, and I think Bob Dunlap was helping, too. So we can't forget that. However, They talked about the hours of the Veteran Service Officer Office is limited. And we've talked about this. We never could understand why they were doing this. Is that it goes from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. By closing the office at 11:30, staff has time to finish working with their clients by noon. And, you know, that was what they said. They have people there. They have lunch from 12 to 1 p.m. They also staff these clients on a first-come, first-served basis and do not accept appointments. For the first half of the week, the wait time to see the VSO staff averages 45 minutes to an hour and can be up to an hour and a half. Second half of the week tends to be lighter, with veterans receiving being able to be seen in 15 minutes. Okay. The veteran population is shifting here in Shasta County. It's getting, of course, younger because we've had a war going on for 15 years. Now, here's what they came in. You can just go on the Shasta County Grand Jury and go to the reports and findings, and it talks about the Veteran Service Officer. I talked about things that have stopped. They talk about how much money is spent at the VSO, how many subvention reimbursements are received. Subvention is when they go in and they're helped, and then they come back and they can work here. They have received, the VSO receives half of its annual subvention payments by each December, halfway through the fiscal year. And so, you know, and they get paid for the number of people they see from the last year is, you know, your money you get this year is based on the last year. So, this is what they found. And they talked about the walk-ins. I mean, this is a very, very thorough. The findings, it's open to limited hours and does not make appointments, restricting public access. The website lacks useful links. Veterans potentially fail to receive benefits because some files in the VSO have not received follow-up. They perform tasks once done by a work-study program participants, limiting available time to help veterans. They limited outreach to Bernie, causing them to come down. They potentially receive reduced level of service as a result of the previous veteran service officer's time spent out of the office. That's the one before Teddy that's in here now that quit in December after being here for like 4 months. Failure of the staff to attend State of California training. Well, now they're back into the training part there. The Shasta County Executive Officer failed to provide adequate oversight of the VSO during changes in leadership, potentially contributing to the substandard caseload following follow-up in a poorly managed office. Here are the recommendations. That the Board of Supervisors direct the County Executive Officer, Larry Lease, to stagger current VSO staff start and break times to allow hours of operation, include lunch, evening, and occasional weekend. That they offer veterans the option of scheduling an appointment. That they fix the website. And this goes on and on and on. That they ensure the veteran service officers focus on the functions of the office rather than attending non-vital community events. Last one is they recommend immediately instruct the county executive officer to take a more proactive supervisory role over the new veteran service officer. Like I said, you can find this on the Shasta County Grand Jury website. You know, just go to Shasta County, go to the Grand Jury, and see under reports.
Have they addressed why we've gone through, what, 3 VSOs in 2 years?
No, they did not address that at all.
That's what
they
did
say. They did say the first one left because of alleged misconduct. The second one left abruptly, and they didn't mention why. And now, and then they, because they had the first one, then they had the second one, and then they had Bob Dunlap. Then they went to this guy Duke, and then they went to, I can't remember his name, and then he wasn't here long enough. And then now to Tommy Keys. Here's the thing is, a lot of the veterans say, why do we have to go out of the area to pick a veteran service officer instead of somebody that knows the people, knows the events, knows the people they're working with? Why do we have to go out of area? Why do we have to pick somebody like that when we've got other people in this place that I know applied for that job, that is from here, that is proactive, that's got lots of energy and knows everybody in this town? No, not me. This was somebody else, but didn't make it through the cutting process. And, you know, and the bottom line is, why do we have to go out of area? Is it to pick another Air Force guy? Because every one of them has been Air Force. I don't think that's the reason. So what is it? Is there nobody here in Shasta County that can make the cut? Maybe that's it. You know, maybe it isn't. But I do know the one person that I know of who applied for this job. In fact, I know 2 people that applied for this job, that could do this job well. Not that he's not, it can't. But again, this is one of the findings, that a lot of the people, a lot of the veterans in this community, and I didn't talk to the Shasta County Grand Jury, by the way, a lot of people feel like that with all this turmoil, and it's kind of like left the veterans out there hanging. I know Bob Dunlap and Dave and Lanford are working their butts off over there, and to turn that thing around, so many people quit for one reason or another, and they're replacing them and trying to get them through the training. But the bottom line is this whole thing, I believe, could have been handled a lot better when you get up to the Board of Supervisors area. You know, they're going to, of course, all turn it over to Larry Lees because he's in charge of it. And so Larry gets to take the smack on this one. But he needs to play a bigger role in this and finding out what's going on. Because there is, you know, and the other thing, too, is they're seeing less people. And it's not because there's less veterans. We have we see twice the number of people at our Shasta County Veterans Service Office as does others that have double our population. They only see half of what we see. So I think the Shasta County Veterans Service Office, when I went there, I was, you know, handled very well. So there has to be some change. I think they're in the midst of all these changes, but the Shasta County Grand Jury has come up with some really good ideas. Now, some of these may have already been happening.
Implemented.
Yeah, may have already been implemented because they wrote this thing a while ago. So what we'll do is we'll get Tommy back on and have him come back in and talk about it. Have him come back on and talk about it. All right, let's take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and DeBott, KCNR 1460. Early to rise, early in the sack. I thank God I'm a country boy. Well, a simple kind of life never did me no harm, raising me a family and working on the farm.
Days are all filled with an easy country car. Thank God I'm a country boy.
Hi, this is Doug LaMalfa. Washington, D.C. is a long way from the North State, not just a distance, but also an attitude. The decisions made there affect much of our everyday lives. The national debt is nearing $20 trillion. That's mind-boggling. It must be brought under control. And those politicians who say everyone needs to pay their fair share, well, they're talking about you paying more, not themselves. We don't need higher taxes. You already pay too much. The best way to eliminate the crushing debt is to control government spending and the ridiculous regulations that chase our jobs overseas. It's that simple. I voted against the big spenders and to slash the debt. We've put the brakes on more billions of your federal tax dollars being spent on the high-speed crazy train. And I will keep fighting to build new reservoirs, protect our North State water, and force the VA to take care of our veterans. This is Doug LaMalfa, and I authorize this message.
Doug LaMalfa is endorsed by the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association, paid for by the Doug LaMalfa Committee.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Reading Yellow Cab. At Reading Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Reading Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Reading Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 304.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to KCNR 1460. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. All your needs for Espresso Joes. Walk in and get the best coffee of your choice. And next door is your biggest walk-in humidor in the North State. We love them. Thank you so much for supporting us. They're great supporters of the veterans as well. How you doing over there?
I'm doing fine. And to answer your questions, yes, people need to read this grand jury report. So you go to, again, Shasta County, and then you go over to where it says the grand jury. Click on grand jury, and then on the left-hand side, go down to reports and recommendations, and just click on that, and it's got all the reports that they have come out with so far, including LAFCA and a number of other things. But this is the one on the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. And like I said, you know, there's been, everybody knows there's been a tremendous amount of turmoil in the Shasta County Veterans Service Office. This, the new one they have that's come in, the new officer that's come in, is, I, you know, he's got a good attitude. He is, you know, he is working hard. He's got good people there to help him with, Dave Lanford, and I know that they were thinking about doing some of these things, but they can't do it till they get everybody trained, because the report was right. They don't have anybody trained. They can only go up to a certain point. So now they've been going through all this training a week at a time. So let's see what's going to happen here. I do know is that the county needs to pay a little more attention to this, because the amount of, you know, if you want to just get down crassly to the amount of money the Veterans Service Office brings into this county is in the millions of dollars, unlike probably some of the other things that the county is involved in. Due to the fact of getting veterans helped, and the veterans are here, and they're being seen when they're seen, and they get the types of benefits that they've earned, and it comes back to Shasta County. Okay, moving on.
Moving on.
Moving on.
Moving right along now.
Memorial Day. Memorial Day. On Monday. At the 11 a.m. the Grove down here at the Civic Auditorium, we'll have a ceremony, and out at IGO at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery at 5:55, there will be a ceremony starting right out there. It's going to be a big ceremony out there, a lot of things happening.
If you are planning on taking to Shasta Whiskeytown Lakes, please be extra careful, because there's going to be a lot of people out there, boats out for the first time, lots and lots of alcohol out there, and we don't want this season to kick off with any tragedies. The second wave of Oregon kids coming down, of course, to avail themselves of Slaughterhouse Island.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Donnie Greenberg had a really good article about what's, you know, out there, and they completely trashed University of Oregon and the fraternities.
Yeah.
Completely trashed the place. They left 90 tents. 90 tents out there. Some of them brand new were left out there. All types of food, plastic furniture, everything on the shore there. The place was a total mess. University of Oregon has apologized.
Yes, and they're going to I think at this point, if you were if you could be the person in charge, like say you're God or you're lawmaker of this particular situation.
I don't think they are.
Well, okay, so this is recklessness. This should be fined.
Yeah, of course,
and they're not sure what they're going to do.
But they don't. They don't. Well, you know what?
If there's any indication whatsoever, what fraternity?
Well, it is. There is a fraternity whose name.
So now, what would you do? Would you go back?
Well, they're being punished, but I'd send them a bill for the cleanup and say, "Hey, you said you were there. You're the only ones we can identify. So here's your bill, $5,000."
I get that, but I can understand that. But I really think that they, as a fraternity, or whoever they find. Were perhaps in that campground at the time, need to come back.
Well, they've offered.
And do the work.
Well, they've offered,
they
but it's already cleaned up.
They need to spend hours of community service cleaning up.
Well,
it's like having your kid pull weeds.
They have offered, but it's too late. It's already cleaned up. But you could still have them come back down here and say, okay, you guys get to clean up after this, after Memorial Day. Plan on coming down here for 3 days and cleaning up the lake. Now, that would be cool.
How about you don't get to graduate? I'm telling you, harsh. There should be harsh.
How are you going to identify them?
But if it's a fraternity, is there a brethren in the fraternity?
Well,
one bad apple.
And what they've done is they suspended that fraternity till they have an investigation.
Okay.
So there. Okay. They need to start. Oh, okay, we're talking about something else here. I was going to say, and they need to start with this, but it came out. But you're right, is that they come down here and they trashed it with no idea of cleaning it up. And they left this thing, and people were there, said, gosh, this place is a mess.
And if we can backtrack to the veterans issue, Graf has a differing opinion.
Okay. Graf, good morning.
Actually, it's Graf.
Graf, okay.
Oh,
sorry
Graf.
About that. You got a rough connection there, dude.
Okay. So,
sorry, you know, it's AT&T. What can I do?
Okay, Graf. I was just saying this from the Shasta County grand jury. Okay. This is what they found. You have a different opinion.
Well, outstanding. So you were reading directly from what they said, not actually what actually happened, correct?
I was reading from what they said in the report. When I editorialized, I said that they are addressing a lot of these issues that had happened. I'm not sure when they did the investigation either. But they've just issued a report as of last night. It hit the wires.
Roger that. Roger that. Well, I was going to say, you know, there's credit where credit is due, and Dave Lanford, outstanding man, Bob, outstanding man, but the person that really carried that office for a long time when there was such upheaval before Dave and Bob could come back was Celestina. And she kicked a lot of butt. She did a lot of stuff, and she met as many needs as she could with the time that she had.
And both Bob and Dave Lamford have both said this numerous times, and we've said that also. You're right. Celestina was the only person that was remained there that was trying to keep it going. Even though there's been a lot of a lot of things thrown at her, when it gets down to it, she was the one that kept it open. And I trust Dave Lamford in his opinions. Unfortunately, I think Celestina was the only one in there when all this was going down. So I'm not sure, again, when the Shasta County Grand Jury did their investigation, but they sure talked to a lot of people. And I would hope that the findings from that, you know, being able to, you know, do, you know, to have appointments, having it open all during the day, maybe even opening on a Saturday to have staggered, you know, work hours and all that. I hope they can do that so it would be open as much as possible.
Yeah, I agree with you as far as that goes. But at the same time, you know, they work their butts off Monday through Friday.
They do.
They go in there any day, and they all work hard. And I can understand why they shut down at 11:30 because they need lunch. I know when I went in there to apply for my benefits, Celestina was the one taking care of me, and she worked with me for 2 hours because my case was really huge. She worked right through lunch.
And there's,
so
and
I want to give her credit.
Well, no, and I'm glad you called in, Griff, for that, because people need credit. And we're not, this is no indictment on the people that are down there. I'm just saying is what their findings were, and frankly, a lot of this was based on the turmoil that hit that office, as you know, as everybody knows. I mean, you go through four veteran service officers in a year. You have a tendency to have turmoil, and you have everybody else quitting, and then you've got to get people trained. And, you know, in the midst of this, if it wasn't for people that stayed there and Dave Lamford and Dunlap that came back to help, who knows what kind of mess it would be. But it's, you know, they've identified these things, and I think that we as veterans and the county and the Shasta County Board of Supervisors and Larry Lees need to take these things to heart to make sure, one, is that office gets all the support it needs. It's too important for it not to have the support. I think everybody agrees on that.
I agree with you more.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I agree with you more. You know, the sad part is that one of those guys, Duke, you know, He blew it. He really blew it. And then you had Jim Young that just up and quit and left all the veterans hanging. You know, so that's why it fell on Celestina. And that's sad.
People quitting.
So, anyway.
Everybody leaving at one time. You know what? The thing is that we need to get past that, and we need to have the emphasis put on the veteran service office that it needs. And they should get all the assistance they need to get back on track, to get running, and whatever it takes, because, you know, it's Shasta County, you know, honors its veterans. That's easy. It's an easy sign to put up. It's harder to live up to it, though.
Right. And since Tommy has taken over as VSO, him and Celestina has changed the entire atmosphere of that office. You walk in there, and it's fresh. It's relaxing. It's not the stress that it used to be.
You know what, and this is what I've heard. So, again, thanks a lot, and we got to run.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
Okay, now the thing about it is, and this is important, is that this report was based on when they did their, you know, whenever they did their background investigations on it. But it still comes down to this, is it needs to have the attention that it deserves here in the county. And if it's not getting that attention, things will happen that, you know, things will keep happening like this. Hopefully, after the disasters of this past year, Larry Lees has got it, and that the Board of Supervisors understands that. And I don't know if there's anybody that's on the Board of Supervisors that's a veteran, and which is another thing. It's a whole other show about how many veterans we have in office around here, and why don't we. But Okay. Hey, when we come back, Sheriff Tom Basinka will be our guest in his monthly appearance here.
Yeah.
And we want to catch up on all the things that are happening in the sheriff's office, especially all these new gun laws and how many of those he would enforce.
Today, playing the part of Hopalong Cassidy.
is Sheriff Tom Basinka after breaking his ankle in a shooting practice.
It was in a good way.
It was a good way. Yeah. It wasn't like he fell out of bed.
Yeah. He was training.
He was training. Okay, currently 63 degrees in the downtown studios. Our highs are today are going to be 80 with isolated thunderstorms, partly cloudy tonight. That's our weather forecast. More about that when we get back here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Authorities say one person was drowned when a vehicle was swept off the road in central Oklahoma yesterday, and more of that rough weather is on the way for the region's Storm Prediction Center forecaster, Rich Thompson in Norman, Oklahoma.
Today looks like we won't be quite as active as we were yesterday, but we still have some risk of at least isolated severe storms into areas like Missouri, Arkansas, Iowa.
Why so deadly? The rain yesterday? Well, the National Weather Service says 3 to 6 inches fell in a short period of time in Oklahoma. A flood warning remains in effect through this afternoon. Last night in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the latest Donald Trump political rally, protesters outside were not content to chant. They got violent at one point, according to police, throwing burning T-shirts, plastic bottles, and even rocks at officers, injuring some. Police responded by firing pepper spray and smoke grenades into the crowd inside the venue at the Albuquerque Convention Center. Trump shouted back after being interrupted numerous times.
He can't get a date, so he's doing this instead. Come on.
Some protesters were forcibly removed by security guards. New guidelines say weight loss surgery should become a more routine treatment for option for diabetes, even for some patients who are only mildly obese. Endocrinologist and guidelines lead Dr. David Cummings says bariatric surgery has been found to have benefits.
Operations originally designed as bariatric surgery to promote weight loss in most cases have incredibly dramatic effects on type 2 diabetes, and this is not just because they promote weight loss, but because they activate other anti-diabetes mechanisms.
Obesity and type 2 diabetes are a deadly combination. Numerous studies have shown stomach shrinking operations can dramatically improve diabetes in some patients. More of these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
From the studio that brought you Heaven is for Real and War Room.
When the Messiah comes, Rome will be nothing.
A faithful retelling of the miracle that changed the world forever.
What happened to the Nazarene?
Risen on digital and Blu-ray.
His tomb is empty.
He's right here. Open your heart and see.
Risen. Rated PG-13 on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. Available now at Christian retailers.
Microsoft is cutting more than 1,800 jobs and will book a $950 million write-down as the company continues its attempts to salvage a rocky entrance into the smartphone market.
The company acquired Nokia's phone business 2 years ago in an attempt to capitalize on the fast-growing industry. However, by the summer of 2015, it was slashing the value of that business and eliminated 26,000 jobs. The bulk of the just-announced job cuts are at Microsoft Mobile Oy in Finland. There will also be up to 500 additional jobs trimmed worldwide.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. Hewlett-Packard Enterprises is slimming down its business further by selling off its technology services division to competitor Computer Sciences Corporation. The deal is worth about $8.5 billion to shareholders in HP Enterprise. That's one of two companies formed last year by the breakup of the struggling tech giant Hewlett-Packard. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. One state may soon go on the record as saying that blue lives matter.
It's Louisiana, poised to become the first state in the country to expand its hate crime laws to protect police, firefighters, and emergency medical crews. If signed by the governor this week, the new law would allow prosecutors to seek additional penalties against anyone convicted of intentionally targeting first responders because of their profession.
That is correspondent Rich Thomason reporting. A State Department audit has faulted Hillary Clinton and previous secretaries of state for poorly managing email and other computer information and slowly responding to new cybersecurity risks. The Associated Press obtained a copy of the report by the agency's Inspector General today. It cites what it calls long-standing and systematic weaknesses related to communications that started before Mrs. Clinton's appointment as Secretary of State. Her failures were singled out as being more serious. Breaking news at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. 8:05 in the morning here on the 25th of May, 2016. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com with the spirited discourse going on in the chat room. And if you're trying to come downtown today, you might want to know that between 7 and noon on Placer and Yuba Street, the streets are closed at the train tracks while they're repairing them. And on Tehama and Shasta, don't go that way either because they're shut down from 7 to 4 p.m. So if you're out there right now listening and figuring you're going to go down one of those streets, think another way. Think about Eureka and going over it that way or going down south further. And That's my early morning traffic report from our helicopter up in the air from the KCNR Free Fire Radio helicopter. What do you see up there, Captain Carl? Oh, I see them up here, and I see down at the tracks, there's people backed up because they've closed the tracks to fix them. They made the announcement late yesterday, so nobody would know about it until this morning.
Take
so,
a breath, Carl.
Okay, I'm heading back over. Oh, my gosh. We got going down over here on 273.
Engine's starting to falter.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I think I'm starting to get tired. I'm heading back. I'm heading back to the airfield at Ben Park.
Don't crash. You're out of gas. Hey, 66 degrees in the down in the downtown studios. Isolated showers, then thunderstorms possibly today. Excuse me. You got me all off here. A highs today of 80 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight with the temperatures around 57.
What's wrong with that?
Thursday calls for a sunny day with our highs tomorrow of about 85, partly cloudy tomorrow night. And Friday calls for about 83 on Friday. As we approach the weekend, Saturday is 86, Sunday is 86, and Memorial Day is 88. So sunburn day, sunburn time.
Still mighty fine considering that normally we blasted right up around the 100-degree mark by now. I'll take it.
I'll take it. Weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. They are locally owned and operated. They give senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Tonight, Nefarious, Merchant of Souls, will be playing at the Cascade Theater. And doors open at 6 p.m. The show begins at 7. There's going to be a panel hosted by local leaders. And this is all about the battle against sex trafficking. Behind the wall of the sex industry, Nefarious, Merchant of Souls. Dignity Health North State presents this, and they've been bringing in, like I said, a panel of people, including a young woman who was abducted and turned onto the streets when she was 14 years old, luckily rescued by police who arrested her. And then the story came out. A powerful, compelling, and transformational documentary about human trafficking and sex slavery. Tonight at the Cascade Theater, $20 general admission, $50 for a VIP. And that includes pre-film networking, wine, and hors d'oeuvres if you're a VIP. Otherwise, you go there and just watch the movie and listen to the panel afterwards. Okay.
With us this morning.
In Mufti.
What?
Mufti. He's in Mufti.
I think you had that word on here a few months ago.
I did, and what it means is if you're in a uniform, you wear a uniform. This is from back from, you know, probably a century ago.
Here's our history lesson.
When military was not in their uniform, it was said they were in Mufti, which is civilian clothes.
How do you spell that?
M-U-F-T-I.
Mufti.
Mufti. Yeah. Mufti. Mufti.
Mm. So,
well,
welcome, Sheriff. Yes.
In civilian clothes. Yeah.
That's right. So you're in Mufti.
Sheriff Tom Basanko is our guest this morning.
Good morning.
Our monthly report.
Love to be here every month.
That's great. We love having you on.
You limped in here as fast as you could?
I did. Absolutely.
Was it hard getting downtown?
No. Traffic was light today, and you had almost a complete block of parking spaces this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Usually it's full right along this block.
It's probably because nobody can get down here.
Yeah, and they've redone the back of our station, the whole parking complex back there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so welcome to the show this morning. And so I know you've got a list there on your yellow pad.
I always have a list. A reminder, too. We'll probably close with it. We have a Memorial Day coming up, and there's a number of services and ceremonies throughout the county at the Veterans Cemetery. We'll have one at the Grove at 11 o'clock at the Civic, and it's to honor those veterans who made the sacrifices over the years and to recognize them. It's not a holiday; it's a recognition.
That's right. And this isn't for the veterans that are walking around today. These are for the ones who have died, mm-hmm. who have given their all for our country.
Right. And then, of course, there is the holiday. And for people to drink responsibly, don't drink and drive, don't operate a boat. We kind of knock on wood here, but we don't want to see any catastrophes and tragedies up at Shasta Lake with drownings or boating accidents or anything like that.
Which leads to this question.
Segue right into it.
So where you all have a boat out there, right?
We do. We have several during the holiday.
Didn't notice that there was debauchery going on out there at Slaughterhouse?
You have several hundred students there with 30-plus houseboats, and they're camping there, and they're partying. Usually by the time we get the boat beached on the shore and get up, they're kind of dispersing. And then there's a tale amongst the students that if you're there in the morning when U.S. Forest Service comes, U.S. Forest Service makes you stay and help pick up the trash. So they're out... disembarking about 2 o'clock in the morning and taking off, and then if you're the last person standing or last person beached there, you get to help pick up all the trash.
It's the second guy who punches, right? You know, like on the field, the first guy punches him, the second guy, the refs see the second guy. But I would think that there's enough trash there to go around for everybody.
It is horrendous. I was talking to Dave Myers, the forest supervisor, left a message for his office yesterday and offered to see if we can get some inmates out there to help them as well, to maybe to pick up and to help them even after the Memorial Day holiday and see if we can get something.
It's too bad
ongoing.
We can't get that fraternity down that they've laid it on to, that this is part of their mission in life if they want to have a fraternity that continues on down.
And we only have about...
That's a good idea, Linda has. Why don't you come down to do community service?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At a given time, there's only maybe four to seven officers on the lake for the entire lake. And their emphasis is safety, boating safety. So they're looking for people that are boating under the influence, not having the right life preservers, especially for children, people that are operating their boats recklessly. And going on the island there, they usually trash is not a super high priority because they're still there partying, and hopefully they'll pick it up. Obviously they didn't. And then it's hard to pin who the trash litterers are.
At least we pretty much know that they're from the University of Oregon.
Yeah, you do know that, but you don't know who the person is.
They left everything, including football jerseys there.
Like if there was a person standing there and say, hey, is this your trash? Not my trash. I didn't drop any. And there's nobody to say, this is the person that dropped the trash and litter.
I know.
You can't cite them. That makes it very hard for prosecution.
I think... It does, but I think that the University of Oregon knows what happened. I think the University of Oregon should put together a group that comes down here after Memorial Day and cleans up.
Yeah,
we should
have
we're going to clean up, and we're not just going to clean Slaughterhouse. We're going to clean up around the different campgrounds.
They need to have a certain hour each student that's in the fraternity. If they've cited that fraternity, each student in that fraternity has to do a certain sign off. How many hours they're going to do of community time, because maybe they do it as a group, maybe they have to do it individually. Before they can graduate, That is a fine that they must pay because somehow, and I believe that I feel bad for the parents.
Part of
if my kids did that,
oh,
they would be far reached from college.
Right.
They would be in such hot water. I would just loathe the fact to think that my child would do something like that.
And they were
that.
Saying that there was, you know, thousands of dollars worth of tents and sleeping bags left behind.
90 tents. They said someone brand new said food, all types of food and coolers and alcohol.
It's outrageous. And Linda, you're right, because usually the part of being in the fraternity is community service and giving back to the university and to the community where the fraternity is. And that would be a good way for the fraternity to get some of their members back together, come back down here, and do some community service for what they did to our beautiful lake and area.
It's gone viral. I mean, it's on every...
Oh, it's nationwide.
It's on Drudge Report. It's on Huffington Post. It's on USA Today. Those are where
you know,
flip around.
And thank
around.
Goodness for the UC Davis Aggies. They put out a... the school put out a notice that said, hey, don't go up and don't trash Shasta if you're going to be going up and partying there. And hopefully these students will be better mannered and pick up behind themselves.
We have to take a break here. And you know, the thing is that we all, it happens. I mean, because Bob goes out there every year and he says Slaughterhouse Island is just, there's like nobody gets killed out there. But this one just was so far over the top.
Right.
This time. So, okay, we're going to take a quick break. Shasta County Sheriff Tom Basenko is our guest. This portion of the show brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club, located on the corner of Eureka and Court Street. And this is a club. It truly is. Your price of admission there, when you join, one of the levels of membership is two trips a month to the Boheme Spa.
Yeah, two spa treatments, and it's really, I don't know, that's just
Tom usually gets facials and a pedi.
That's a beautiful bonus. Yeah. It's a beautiful bonus, but you come in and it is a club. You get towel service. You have a nice saltwater pool. Let me tell you something.
It's
that saltwater pool has been like my new addiction, my new beautiful addiction.
It is. You can go and work out there without getting hammered on your knees, your elbows, and all this.
And we know you're going to get ready for it.
Get ready for the Spartan run.
So you got to get your everything, your stuff in
every
alignment.
Every part of me has got to be aligned and ready to go on the Spartan run. All of this. Give them a call, 768-1205. It's a great place down there. Go down and talk to Rich Novelli. He's, he runs the place, he owns the place, he cares. Okay, we'll be right back with the Shasta County Sheriff, Tom Basenko. We want to talk about a number of things, including the new gun laws that are proposed and a lot of other things. We'll be right back.
Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
You're paralyzed by the possibilities when it comes to dealing with your windows.
Budget blinds ready.
What about function, total darkness, filtered light? Should there be a lining?
Budget blinds ready.
And then there's fabric. Do you need blinds, curtains, drapes, shutters? Maybe a layered look. What about installation?
Budget blinds ready.
At Budget Blinds Reading, you're given the very best of two worlds. Locally owned service and the peace of mind knowing Budget Blinds Reading offers more brands and more fashion-forward styles with window treatment options that work within your budget. Jerry and the whole Budget Blinds Reading team are dedicated to giving you design help to create a home that reflects your personality.
My goal for our customer here at Budget Blinds is when we walk out of the house, it's nicer than it was when we walked in. The customer got exactly what they wanted. If you're in need of custom window coverings, shutters, blinds, shades, draperies, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
Play cards for a good cause and play in the One Safe Place Charity Poker Tournament on Saturday, June 4th at 12 p.m. at Wind River Resort and Casino. Your $230 buy-in will get you $20,000 in chips, all fees included. Book your seat now at the River Club or online at windriver.com. Stay with us in Redding, California's all-in-one luxurious destination. Reserve your room now and ask for your special room rate. Call 1-800-280-UWIN. Wind River Resort and Casino is known for hosting the finest poker tournaments in Northern California. Be one of the privileged few. Pull up a seat, grab your big stack, and play for a good cause in the One Safe Place Charity Poker Tournament at Wind River Resort and Casino on June 4th. Prize pool based on 100 participants. Dining voucher included. Unlimited re-entry and late registration until first break. Your $30 entry fee is donated to One Safe Place, a service that provides legal services, safety, and emotional support to intimate partners, children, and seniors affected by domestic violence. For details, log on to windriver.com. It's better at the river.
At the river.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to back to our Wednesday portion, our 8 o'clock portion here on KCNR 1460 with our sheriff, Tom Vasenko. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great, Linda.
This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air with over 20 years of experience. Voted best in the North State in 2015. That's our friends over at Alliance Heating and Air. Give them a call at 221-2642 or check out their website at homecomfort.org. So what do you have on your mind today?
Well, we got lots of stuff. Of course, you've heard the news about the blueprint. The chief was on, what, a week ago?
Right.
Yeah, he was on last week talking about what this transaction use tax could go to. It looks like about $11 million if it could generate, if it was a half a cent. And just for the sheriff's office, it would add about an additional $200,000 for additional out-of-county bed space where we could contract out with those counties and then start building a capital fund for us to expand out for more jail beds. The adult rehabilitation center that we're in the process of developing and should break ground either later this year or in 17 is 64 beds, and then when it's completed, the basement of the jail currently has our laundry, kitchen, and storage areas, and that can be converted for about 64 beds of bed space there.
What happens to the laundry and all those?
That's going to be down at the new facility, and that'll take care of the new facility and the main jail. And so that'll help out.
What's down there now?
Nothing right now. It's an empty field. It will be the adult rehabilitation facility.
What's down in the basement right now?
Kitchen, laundry, and storage area.
So you're going to take the food from the kitchen at the new area and take it back over to the old jail?
Yes, it'll be transported back and forth. It'll probably be under a new type of processing called cook chill, where you can basically retherm it. And it's similar to what the meals would be on an airline.
Or like tray rats. We call them T-rats in the military.
So I have a question for you. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure, but I'm coming from a complete, you know, the layman, the taxpayer, when we come to agreeing to increase a sales tax. I think a lot of people feel like if they thought for sure that this money was allocated specifically for what you're talking about, people would be okay, but there's so much switch and bait that happens with our tax dollars that we're in fear of it.
I can certainly understand that. However, if you make it on the ballot to where it's specific, like
in Anderson?
No, like
the one last
earlier on the board. But anyway, the sales tax measure earlier for the city of Reading, that was specific. That required 66 and two-thirds vote. Most of the time, you'll never get there for 66 and two-thirds percentage votes. If it was an advisory measure like Anderson had, it passed in Anderson. Mm-hmm. It also would have passed if it was an advisory measure that would have been on the ballot for the city of Reading because it got 56% of the vote. Also, the sales tax measure has been successful in Humboldt, where it gets the sheriff about $3 million a year that allowed him to expand out both for patrol and for jail operations.
Well, also on this, besides the general going to the general tax fund, there's another addendum to that that people vote on that says where the money's going to go
to. Yeah, that's called an advisory measure.
The advisory measure. Now, the city council doesn't have to do that, but according to Brent Weaver, who was on the show and addressed that, said that he would lead a recall effort if people didn't use that money. And the other thing, too, he says he has no problem with putting an advisory committee made up of people not in government, of civilians out there, on that committee just, you know, to show the transparency of where the money's going.
For some oversight.
And where and oversight, which I think is a good idea. And that way you know is that, okay, this money is going here. This is going there.
Just as long as it doesn't turn out to be like REU.
Yeah, or going to parks and recreation.
And that's where you hold the elected officials accountable. Yeah. It goes on to the ballot, and they said, here's an advisory measure. Then if they don't use it for that money, then you have the election process when it comes around and the recall process that Brent has talked about as well. And so that's where you have to have some trust in your government officials. We know that we desperately need more jail bed space. We need more officers on the street, like for Chief Robert Paletti for the Reading PD, and they need more firefighters. And how are you going to get this if the revenues aren't coming in? Right now, our sales tax revenue is at 2006 levels. After the recession, it's just now returning to about 2006 levels. And so that's how far behind we are on revenues. And then also our property values are just returning to about 2006 levels now, 10 years later. And so that's very much needed. We need those to be able to build more jail beds and not just to incarcerate people, but these are what is often referred to as smarter beds. They're beds like for people that are incarcerated that may have mental health disorders in addition to their crime. Also for the rehabilitation services and programs that could be offered starting in the jail and then out to the adult rehabilitation center. And then once if they're out of that, or if they're on work release or on probation, they could also return to the rehabilitation center. There's a secure side and a non-secure side for like the people that are on work release or on probation. And they could attend rehabilitation classes and services there as well. And so then it can be a continuous continuum of services for the inmate and supervised probationer.
The amount of sheriff's deputies, you know, you've opened up the Burney substation, and now you're trying to hire seven others.
We're doing pretty good on hiring right now. We still have to get some hired up for Burney to get it back to 24 hours of patrol. We have eight filled for in Burney, and we still have a couple other vacancies. We do have some retirements coming up as well, but if we can get a couple more people filled, we can go back to 24 hours of patrol there. We have some vacant in our, what we call our Reading Basin patrol areas. We have three vacant in our patrol operations, one up in Shingletown, one in Lakehead, and then one for our AB 109 compliance team. And we got some people in the hopper right now that are getting going through the background process, so that's looking pretty good. But we also need a lot of people to get hired up for the jail because we've had a fair amount of turnover there. And have to get starting to get built up for the adult rehabilitation center. Like right now, we could easily hire 10 correctional officers. We need a cook. So, Carl, if you're pretty good at cooking from all those days in the military, you can apply for that.
And as long as they don't mind MREs.
Yeah, MREs is actually not too bad for what's there.
You know, but of course,
about 3,000
calories. Lots of Tabasco sauce.
They would take you. Yeah, we'd have to have a budget of $1,000 a month for Tabasco sauce. Of course, then they would take you to court because of an inhumane treatment because they're being fed MREs.
Right. And we're looking
but
for
it's okay for the military.
And we're looking for service officers to hire, and those are the people that do our clerical booking processes, push some buttons, watch some monitors, but don't go hands-on with the inmates. And so we're always
hiring.
So
what do you start off people at that?
What do you mean, hourly rate?
Yeah.
Like for a service officer, it's right around $15-plus dollars an hour.
Oh, okay.
For our correctional deputies that work in the jail, about $19 an hour, and it goes up to about $23 for a deputy sheriff. About $23 an hour starting out and goes up to about $29 an hour.
How much overtime?
Plus benefits. Right now, a lot of overtime. And so that ends up, and it depends, you almost can get as much overtime as you want to work in addition to your holiday overtime and everything. But we have to keep people on the street. We have to keep people working in the jail because there's some
mandated.
Do you
have any discrimination factors there, like age or things
well,
like
we,
that?
Well, we don't discriminate. So, but no, there's age isn't a factor. You have to be able to pass the physical. If you're going to the academy, there's some physical requirements there.
Oh, so you don't you take them out of the academy, right?
Are
you
looking for some out of the academy?
Are you sending them to the academy?
We're going to be sending some. We got some funding this year to send about 3 people to the academy, and that's about 26 weeks, I believe, almost 6 months of going to the academy.
Are you talking about they go through the CHP?
No, not it's not quite as long as CHP, but all the academies are pretty long now.
Really, 6 months?
Almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they get do they get full pay and benefits there?
They do. We have a position called deputy sheriff trainee, and that's at a different pay scale than a deputy sheriff that's working the street. And so, but they do get paid, and they get per diem while they're going to the academy there. And so you have to pass the physical requirements. You have to pass the academic requirements. And then a lot of people wash out in the scenarios. So they have scenarios for officer safety, like car stops, building searches. And you can fail those as well.
Do they do the high-speed track?
They do the EVOC course, the Emergency Vehicle Operations course. And even there is one person that failed due to parallel parking. You have to parallel park. And if you brush a cone, then that's the same as brushing against a car and having an accident there. And there was one person, not from our agency, but I think they had 2 weeks to go to the academy. And failed the parking part.
Oh, come on. And you know what? That is absolutely ridiculous because they don't have to pay him back.
The sheriff there was a bit upset with that one because the person remediated, went through like 15 parallel parkings flawlessly, and then when it came to, quote, the test, the person brushed a cone and then was washed out, and that was
how much money had they spent at that point?
Oh,
you know what? That is
we estimate
that's
with salaries, benefits, and
that was
salary benefits, and plus going to the academy.
Well, you know what
close
you do?
$50,000.
You put them out on the road where they never even see another car, except you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
We
got to take a break.
Yeah, exactly. And there should be like going back to that comment real fast. There should be about 5. And we have to go to the phones, but I'll tell you what. Got to take a break because we have a hard break at 8:30. Please hang on the phone. Roberta will be right back with your question with our Sheriff Tom Basenko after these messages here on KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Memorial Day. How do we celebrate it? By remembering our fallen military men and women. My father's headstone reads Veteran, World War II. Because the cemetery is far away, it had been several years since I visited. It is a peaceful place with a lot of trees. Suddenly, I was interrupted by laughter. I turned around to see a young woman laying out a blanket and putting out a picnic lunch. Her two little girls were chasing each other and giggling loudly. I immediately felt anger. This was not a place for play. Then the young woman sat on the blanket in front of the grave, and I heard her say, "Hello, honey. We thought we would spend the day with you. I just wanted you to know the girls and I are doing fine, and we miss you very much." My heart immediately broke. I turned around to give them their moment of privacy while fighting back tears. We must remember our veterans, and their families too. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Linda Bott. It is Wednesday, the 25th of May, 8:33 in the morning, 66 degrees going up to 80 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off of Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold, best place in the world to get a haircut. Right there, a better-known business. We're here with Sheriff Tom Basinko, but we're going to go to the phones. Roberta, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I was just wondering if I understood it right and had a question. The Sheriff's Department pays for the training for the officers?
Yes, we can. We haven't in the past because we haven't had the funding. We've got some funding for this next year.
So you might do it. And then if the county or the Sheriff's Department did pay for it, how long does the sheriff have to stay working for the Sheriff's Department before they could move over to Redding?
That is a contractual agreement. We don't have a contractual agreement, and we're looking into establishing the contract. There's some ins and outs of that because you don't want to create basically an indentured servant, but you want to be able to at least recoup some of your costs there, and there's some court decisions on that as well. But, Roberta, you're absolutely right. We do lose a fair amount of people to Redding PD that get picked up, and mainly they're looking at the salaries because their officers make about one-third more than our officers there.
Yeah. And
moving up from there.
I was wondering how long, if we paid for the training, how long they'd have to.
Yeah, there's been some court decisions on those contracts, and so that's
we ought to be able to keep for a couple of years, though, two or three
years.
We
hope, yeah.
Okay,
thanks.
But thanks for calling in.
Thanks.
Good question.
Okay, Tom, the newest initiative by Governor Brown is turning more
potentially
criminals.
Well, so what he's
got
done,
a signatures.
He has to get all of his signatures. I don't know if he's collected
they
those.
Turned it in.
They turned
it in,
so they're still counting them up.
And this is the same type of proposition like 47 that just everybody knew it was a bad idea, but obviously not 67% of people that voted.
So the governor has said on this initiative that he wants to release more people from prison. And remember that we've already had AB 109 to get out those, quote, lower-level offenders out of prison. Then we had Prop 47 that released more people from prison, low-level offenders, mainly property crimes and drug crimes. And now the governor is proposing an initiative that goes to the voters that would release more people from prison. He's saying lower level, but basically all that's left in prison now are your second strikers that have some violence backgrounds or maybe a lot of violence backgrounds. They may be in on a lesser crime, and their main focus is to reduce the prison population so they can get out from underneath the three-judge federal panel that's causing that.
Yeah.
And it's all on top of 109. It's on top of 47. And if this passes, more people would be released. And we know that 109 and 47 are not working, and it's impacting crime statewide and right here in Shasta County as well.
Record Searchlight came out today with a strong editorial against it.
Correct.
The California District Attorneys Association has come out against it. You're against it. They're saying is, well, if they get a GED or they go through a couple other, you know, anger management courses, then they can be cut loose.
Well, what they're doing is now,
but again, this goes back
they're
into
counting
the thing.
More things for credit to give them even more credit to get them out sooner.
But this also counts on this is that, oh, this is a nonviolent crime. Again, ignoring the fact that they could have had five previous felonies.
Correct.
That were of violence.
And maybe they're in for a nonviolent second strike now.
But they're in for, say, a house burglary where they've had four violent felonies before.
But
the governor
has spoken to us, the California State Sheriffs, and he met with us from a few months ago at a meeting. And he was saying that this is to reduce the prison population. And for them to get out from away from that three-judge panel. He's not talking about public safety. He's not talking about the impacts that it's going to have statewide. He wants to get out from
And this was his law anyway when he was first governor, about
and
putting people
to,
away for 40 years.
Yeah, and he wants to change the sentencing laws because right now we have determinate sentencing, which you have to get either a small, medium, or large sentence. He wants to go back to indeterminate sentencing, which makes for lighter sentences and gives the judges more discretion. He originally signed in the determinate sentencing law, and now he wants to go back to indeterminate sentencing. It's going to put more load on the counties and more impact on our communities with the releases from prison.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so I'm opposed to that as well.
Another great idea by Governor Brown here.
Right.
Now, speaking of more good ideas coming out of Sacramento.
Huh.
The 11 gun laws that have come out that are so onerous, bills that have come out, and they've been passed. They've just got to be signed.
Well, no, they haven't passed yet. They've passed
out
of the Senate, and most of them are going to the Assembly now. They haven't gone to the governor's desk yet.
Do we doubt they'll pass the Assembly?
That'll be a little more contentious in the Assembly there, so hopefully some won't. And a lot of it is also to go against Newsom's gun initiative. Newsom has been saying, hey, we can't get things passed in the legislature, so he's trying to bypass the legislature with his gun initiative.
Right.
And then the anti-gun senators, De Leon, Leno, Hancock, and others came up with these other bills that would impact.
Did you see De Leon's comment that we can't trust the voters to make the right decision
that
on
was
this?
A slap in the face to all the voters within California.
We cannot trust the voters to make the right decision on this. All these years of hard work could go away with this, and then they might bring Republicans to the polls, too.
So
I mean, this whole thing, it is so pathetic.
It wants to redefine what becomes an assault weapon, which makes many sporting and hunting rifles an assault weapon.
My Remington 5-shot semi-automatic rifle
would become an assault weapon.
If it becomes law, it becomes an assault rifle.
Wants to regulate ammunition, wants to regulate bullet button guns. All of this does not affect crime, nor the criminal.
How are they going to do that? That you can't have a bullet button gun, or now you have to register it as an assault weapon?
Yes, it would ban it, and then you'd have to register it.
Okay, so then if I register it as an assault weapon, can I just take that bullet button off it then, since it's already an assault weapon?
I haven't read the very fine intricacies of that, because would you be changing it or manufacturing a part? But you would be an assault weapon then, and so you'd think you could go back to like a pre-ban, which is just a regular magazine release.
Regular magazine release.
Right. And they're saying the bullet button speeds up the release. No, that's why it has a tool.
But they put it in the bullet button to slow it down. And they thought, they're going to have to take a wrench and undo something.
They want to try and ban all what they call large-capacity magazines more than 10 rounds, and that's in the Newsom initiative as well.
Yeah. And somebody's telling me that, yes, you can, Carl. You can take that bullet button off. If it's already an assault weapon, why not take it off and just now you've got a – you don't need a bullet button. It's already an assault weapon.
So it's going to be very problematic for the law-abiding citizen, and that's what these laws are affecting, are the law-abiding citizen or the potential gun owner. Maybe a person doesn't own a gun right now, but they want to, and that's going to restrict them. It wants to ban the large-capacity magazines.
And ban means if you have them already, which
destroy them, move them out of state, but you could not possess them. That's out of the Newsom initiative.
Well, see, that's the other thing. Now it just takes our personal property and says no.
And there's no compensation for
that. No compensation.
And so that'll probably get challenged in court.
What about the bullet thing, where you have to have a background investigation, and people selling you ammunition have to have a background investigation?
Correct.
And we have a 10-day waiting period?
That's in the Newsom initiative, and it's also in some bills that are on. That's
in front of the 10-day waiting
period? So you'd have to get backgrounded and obtain a license to purchase ammunition.
Right.
What does
is license? Is that every time?
No, you'd have the license, but you'd have to get backgrounded each time.
I'd have to, and pay the $25?
Probably. They haven't set a price yet. But remember, licensing equals payment, too, so they're going to do that to the law-abiding citizen. The seller has to be licensed, so all the vendors and their clerks that work in stores would have to be licensed as well. They couldn't have ammunition out on shelves. It'd have to be behind locked areas.
You and I are out shooting one day, shooting trap.
Right.
Hey, Tom, I've run out of ammo. Can I have 5 rounds to finish?
And if I said yes and gave them to you, then I would become a lawbreaker, a violation of law, because I cannot give, lend, transfer, sell. If you said, hey, I want to buy 5 rounds for me, I can't do that because I'm not a licensed vendor to do that.
You can't loan a gun to me. And if I was out with my if I was out with my grandson and said, okay, let's go out and shoot the 20, shoot my 22, show you how to be, how to use it safely. If I let him use that 22 rifle and gave him ammunition for that, I'm a lawbreaker.
You'd be a criminal.
A criminal.
And that's what these are not affecting crime, or it's not impacting the true criminals in the state. Most of the time, handguns are used in crime, and they're going after the long guns. And the long guns are, even in tragedies, and I'm not trying to make light of the tragedies, long guns are used in less than 1% of the tragedies that occur nationwide, but they're going after them because they don't want to have a tragedy escape them to where they make these laws.
And the whole thing about it is, there's absolutely no common sense.
Even the governor has said publicly several years ago, there are enough laws on the books here in California. We have the most restrictive gun laws, some of the most restrictive gun laws in the state. We have enough now. We need to enforce the ones we have and then prosecute those violators to the full extent of the law and give them harsh punishments. It has been proven in a federal project called Project Exile in Richmond, Virginia, They took criminals that had guns, gun possession, gun crimes, prosecuted them federally, and locked them up for a long period of time in federal prison. And what happened? Crime went down.
Crime went down.
In Richmond, Virginia. What happened to the outlying communities? Crime went up because they weren't enforcing the federal law. Nationwide, it went nationwide to another project called Project Safe Neighborhoods. Wasn't quite as successful trying to apply it nationwide, but it was still successful as well. You need to target the criminal, the violator, and then prosecute them to fullest extent. Then you'll see this. You're not going to see gang members, oh, I have to turn in my magazines. Oh, I can't transfer this ammunition.
What priority is this for the sheriff's office to prosecute these things?
It would be, it's discretionary and it'd be a lower priority. However,
how lower?
Very low.
Okay.
Because it's a good law-abiding citizen that's being impacted. Yeah. Now, obviously, if a criminal is transferring the ammunition that has a criminal background, prosecute them to full extent of the law.
I've seen that where you caught people before out there that are, you know, growing marijuana, and you found them with weapons. Hey, guess what? You now have a felon. You have a felon with a gun.
Armed in the commission of a felony.
You found, like, you're doing a marijuana raid,
mm-hmm.
and you found a gun with magazines that mm-hmm. are, you know, with more rounds, you know. Hey, guess what? This little raid, you already got a, you know, you already shouldn't have this already, and now we're just going to tack that on, and we just keep adding that on.
Or they're a felon, they're a prohibited
person. But you're not going to go out to the Reading Gun Club and there's somebody out there shooting and go, oh, my God, look at that. He's got a 15-round magazine.
Yeah, or, oh, my gosh, he just gave you a box of shells.
Yeah.
No.
Now, you know, this whole thing is ludicrous. And anyway,
I've rallied the state sheriffs together. We're opposing nearly all these gun bills that have come across because they're impacting law-abiding citizens, our constituents, and they're not impacting criminals. And so we're opposed to that. We're in Sacramento lobbying against these bills, writing letters, and working with Gun Owners of California and the CRPA, California Rifle Pistol Association, right alongside with them to try and stop these bills even before they get to the governor's desk. And if they get to the governor's desk, we'll be giving him a call and trying to meet with him.
They don't care. All right. Hey, look, we got to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larchford, right here in town. He does not have large capacity magazines, but he does have ammo you can buy down there, and guns of all kinds and calibers. All the accessories, he's got it all right there at Bastiani Arms, including concealed carry classes and hunter safety classes. Great customer service, gunsmithing, everything. Give them a call at 222-8222 or stop by 2539 Larchford, Tuesday through Saturday. Really good veterans discounts there. All right, we'll be right back after these messages.
Paid for by Joe Montez for Congress 2016.
North State residents are excited about Joe Montez. That's because Joe is running for U.S. Congress here in California's 1st Congressional District. Here's nationally syndicated radio talk show host, Lars Larson.
It's been a real pleasure to know Joe Montez. I want to tell you something about Joe, though, and this is what impresses me. This is a man who grew up in some extraordinarily tough circumstances and rising to the top academically, and then go on to become an administrative law judge, and then to go from that to the private sector and be successful in the private sector, bringing jobs to Northern California. And I'm so impressed with what you've been able to do. And I look forward to the day that you can be in the United States Congress representing Northern California.
It's time for a new kind of leader that cares about the people. Vote for conservative Joe Montez on June 7th and get to know Joe at MontezForCongress.com.
I'm Joe Montez, and I approve this message.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since her arrival. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Good morning. Welcome back to KCNR 1460. Bob Belongi at the helm here. Carla Lindebaugh, welcome back. Here we are live with our guest, Tom Basenko. Welcome back, Tom, to the program.
Thanks, Linda. Appreciate it very much. Always love being here.
Yeah, it's great. We have a warm day today. It's supposed to be isolated thunderstorms. We'll see about that. Right now, I walked outside, and it's absolutely gorgeous. High of 80, partly cloudy tonight with our lows of 57. Tomorrow calls for 85, 83. As we progress through the week, our temperatures on Memorial Day are going to be up to 90. So, anyway, the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Tom, you have a few more things on your list.
Yeah, you know, we're heading into summer. As you mentioned, the temperatures are going to be climbing into the 90s. Many people this weekend, this coming Memorial Day weekend, people will be heading out to the lake. Please use life vests, personal flotation devices, we call them PFDs. Make sure you use those and have them for your kids as well, because that's a requirement. And you're supposed to have enough in your boat to have a life preserver for everybody in the event of an emergency. Always look behind your boat when backing up. There we get so many accidents of people backing up and hitting people with their prop, and we don't want to see tragedies happen, a death occur. And, of course, boat responsibly. Don't drink and boat. We have our officers will be out on the lake looking for people that are boating under the influence, BUI we call it. And we don't want to see any tragedies out there of either boating accidents or drownings out on the lake. And then also take in our great North State. But remember, this is a holiday, but it's Memorial Day. And it's to honor our veterans who have made the sacrifice over the years. And there will be ceremonies at the Veterans Grove, which is near the Civic Auditorium, at 11 o'clock on Monday, right? Is that
absolutely
on Monday? On 11 o'clock on Monday. Then also out at the IGO Veterans Cemetery, there's a ceremony out there, and I believe it starts at like 5 to 6.
5:55.
And so you have to get there plenty early. If you get there at 5:55, you're going to be walking a long ways to get a parking, to get up there, because your parking is going to be huge. And that's a very well-attended event to honor all of our veterans out at the cemetery.
Two flyovers, two T-38 Italian jets. Brigadier General Mary Kite of the California National Guard is the keynote speaker. Jim Nielsen will be out there as Lavetta Vaughn. And also, she's an Enterprise High School student who's joining the U.S. Army.
Wow.
Under a delayed entry program. There's also Longcrest. We'll talk about that in a minute, but let's go to the phones right now. Sheriff, we've got Billy Bob on the phone, but what's on your mind today? Question?
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, on your previous segment in your discussion on these gun laws, it rings to my rationale that the Second Amendment is being infringed upon, and that there is no way without a lawsuit, a constitutional basis, that these laws can go through. So I'm wondering whether your Sheriff's Association or anybody else that you're working with, as you indicated, that there wouldn't be a massive constitutional lawsuit based that the Second Amendment is being infringed, and it's quite clearly states that that can't be done. So I'll take you my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy Bob.
Well, thanks for calling in, Billy Bob. A number of years ago, there was a piece of legislation called AB 962, and the NRA sued on that one, and it was trying to regulate ammunition, and this was ammunition that could be used either in pistols or in rifles, and that was successful. And now the NRA and California Rifle Pistol Association is suing the city of Los Angeles. I'm involved in that suit there for trying to ban large capacity magazines within the city. And a number of sheriffs have joined me in that lawsuit, along with private citizens as well. The law does allow regulation of firearms, and that's where they're trying to regulate certain firearms. And so they have to look at each one for the constitutionality and its infringement upon the Second Amendment. But Billy Bob, you're right. And they're not trying to do it in one great big fell swoop. They're doing it a little bit at a time. They're chipping away at the rock, and the rock being the Second Amendment, and eroding it a little bit at a time. And that's where you see the erosions of our rights as some of these laws are passed. And it can be Fourth Amendment rights on search and seizure, and it can be, in this particular case, our Second Amendment rights, which citizens do have the right to keep and bear arms. And it says right there that it shall not be infringed. But many of these legislators forget their oath to protect our Constitution and infringe upon our Second Amendment rights.
Thank you, Billy Bob.
So thanks for calling
in. So what is the shall not infringe? I mean, I'll tell you what. We just think that's kind of a heap of you-know-what when you think about what they're trying to do with legislation, is that they're slicing away our rights to the point where I guess if you chip away enough that people become some people would just become numb to the fact that I just don't have the rights anymore with the new generation coming up. So it's up to us to keep fighting.
If somebody said made a law that says we're going to restrict your speech or restrict the media on certain things, there would be a huge outrage of trying to restrict our First Amendment rights. But they're restricting some of our Second Amendment rights. The Second Amendment goes all the way back to early England, back into the 690s through 1100s A.D. And even then, some of the kings were trying to restrict arms. And it was even then, eventually, Parliament restored it that said that it's there to protect the realm, and that they're taking an oath to support and defend the realm, and they restored some of the weapons laws at that time to the citizens of England. And that's why our forefathers, when they came here, they created the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights was created because a lot of the infringements that they had seen in England, the First Amendment for restricting free speech and freedom of religion, the Second Amendment for keeping and bearing arms, the Third Amendment for putting military into their homes in like peacetime, the Fourth Amendment for search and seizure, the Fifth Amendment for not testifying against yourself. It goes on and on. And that's why they saw these things and lived through them, of how these things were being infringed upon and regulated onto them. And that's why they created the Bill of Rights to put into there, and it has stood for over 230 years, and that's why it's important that we protect all of these rights. The regulation of it, sure, shall not be infringed, but we don't want to give criminals guns and prohibited persons, and so there needs to be some better laws on prohibited persons and for those people with mental health issues. And many of these shootings that we've seen, especially the mass shootings, that have been predominantly people that have had mental health issues or have been people that are prohibited and should not have guns. And that prohibition started coming about in about the 1920s and 30s when they were regulating that you couldn't have a machine gun or a sawed-off shotgun or be a felon, and that was because of some of the crimes that were occurring that time. That wasn't an infringement upon our rights. Those were some reasonable ones. So the law does allow us to regulate some things, but they're getting crazy on some of the regulations going on, and it's only impacting law-abiding citizens.
Well, when you come to the topic of criminals and guns, we know, and as you know more than anybody would know because you see it daily, it's just a black market. There'll always be a black market. People want to get drugs, they'll always get drugs. You want to get heroin, you'll always get heroin. You want to get guns, you'll get guns. You want to get the worst kind of gun, the sawed-off shotgun, the machine, you can get them.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Just a black market. It's always going to be there.
When you see these gun turn-ins and gun buybacks in the Bay Area and or the Los Angeles area, and you see pictures of hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of guns being turned in, you look at those pictures, and those are just common everyday guns. And most of the time, there may be senior citizens, and maybe their spouse has passed away, and they don't know what to do with the gun, and they turn it in. that prevents maybe the gun from being stolen, but you're not seeing gang members line up and turning in their Saturday night specials, although that does happen because it's no questions asked if they're doing a gun buyback. Maybe they're turning in a $25 gun, getting paid $100 or $200.
Wow.
And then they'll take that money, either go out and buy drugs or go out and try and upgrade their gun.
Wow.
And there, a lot of times the burglary rate goes up when they're doing these buyback programs or just before them because then the criminals are out stealing guns so they can turn them in. And what a better way to get rid of a crime gun, because sometimes it's no questions asked. You turn it in. So then they get destroyed, and then they've destroyed a crime gun for evidence and during a buyback program.
Wow. When is the buyback program?
Well, they run it at a lot of other agencies. Right. We obviously don't do it here, but they do it quite often down in the Los Angeles area and sometimes in the Bay Area agencies down there.
Do they ever reuse those guns?
No. They destroy them.
They destroy them. So you probably have some historical guns.
Oh, it is. I've seen some historical guns in those piles just looking at the photos as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they're trying to say that it's going to reduce crime, but it really doesn't reduce crime.
Well, thank you so much for being on again with us this morning. Remember, today's just Wednesday, but we're getting ready for the Memorial Day weekend. Thank a veteran. Show up to one of our wonderful events that we have here in the North State. I know one of the things that we have in here, which is amazing because it's going to be 90 degrees on Monday, that hiking trails in the Manzanita Lake and Butte Lake are open to hikers.
Whiskeytown Falls.
But you must bring an ice pick. That's what we love about the North State. Right. Thank you, Tom. And Bob, thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow here on KCNR 1460.
KCNR, Shasta Ready.
I'm gonna stand my ground. Won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground.
State Department faulting Hillary Clinton for poorly managing email and other computer information during her time as America's top diplomat.
According to the State Department's Inspector General, former Secretary Clinton and previous secretaries were slow to respond to cybersecurity risks. But the audit singles out Clinton's failures as more serious. Her use of a private email account and server while in office, and failure to promptly turn over the records. The audit reveals that Clinton and her top aides chose not to cooperate with the review. Greg Clugston, Washington.
President Obama is in Japan for a G7 summit. Ahead of that meeting, which gets underway tomorrow, Mr. Obama has been talking security issues with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe.
The alliance between the United States and Japan is a critical foundation for the security of both of our countries.
The president also expressing condolences to the killers.